5. The Bills found out today that kicker Steven Hauschka has been named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week for his performance in the Bills' victory against the Jets on Sunday. Hauschka had a pair of field goals, including a season-long 54-yarder. He had 5 extra points in Buffalo's 41-10 win. Hauschka having one of his best seasons, tied for 5th highest field goal percentage in the league at 93.8%. He's hit his last 15 consecutive field goals after missing his first one of the year back in Baltimore. It's the third time Hauschka has been named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week in his career. One previously for the Bills in a Week 3 performance last season against Denver. Late yesterday, the Bills announced that they have waived wide receiver Terrell Pryor just 2 weeks after picking him up. Pryor appeared in 2 games for the Bills against Chicago and against the Jets, targeted 8 times. 2 catches for 17 yards in the loss of Chicago went without a catch against the Jets last Sunday. The Bills were Terrell Pryor's 4th team over the last 3 seasons. And the Bills added a player to their practice squad yesterday, cornerback Denzel Rice. Most recently, he was with the Cleveland Browns, played 8 games this season, mostly on special teams. It is the bye week for the Buffalo Bills. They are off until Sunday, November 28th, when they are home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ben Roethlisberger says he placed a call to Le'Veon Bell yesterday, texted him actually before the deadline for Bell to report. He did not report, so Le'Veon Bell will not play for the Steelers or anybody else in the 2018 season. Roethlisberger said he wished him the best. He said he texted him before the deadline but did not hear back. So Le'Veon Bell forfeits the 2018 season and $14.5 million in earnings on the franchise tag in an effort to preserve his body for unrestricted free agent. And the Buffalo Sabres rolling along. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning last night by a score of 2-1 at KeyBank Center. Jeff Skinner scored his 13th goal of the year. Kyle Okposo also scored, and Carter Hutton made 29 saves to lead Buffalo to victory. Sabres have won 4 of their last 5 home games. Now they hit the road tomorrow for a 3-game road trip starting Friday in Winnipeg. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, joined on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline by our buddy Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas, who was not with us last week. We gave him the week off after all of his goings on last week. Did you recover from Thurman Thomas' marathon over the last couple of weeks there, Thurman?
No, I'm still kind of recovering, but things are still moving kind of fast for me. You know, obviously, getting your jersey retired, number retired, you know, a lot of people want to talk to you. So I've continued to do, you know, a lot of interviews the past couple of weeks, but that's fine.
I've got another Thurman Thomas event coming up, don't I?
Yes, you do. When is that?
I don't know. We'll find. I'll see you there. Yeah, Friday.
Friday at the Icon Museum. Yeah.
This Friday?
Yeah, for this Friday. Got my last Thurman Festivus ever thing.
Well, the mayor hasn't given me the key to the city yet, so.
He's got to get it back from Terrell Owens first.
Yeah, listen, if he gives you the key to the city, I'm going to lock you out.
You wouldn't do me like that.
No, I wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't. It was an amazing week, though, Thurman. And we talked to you about it a couple of days after it was over. Did not talk last week. But it really, I would think, gives you a chance to reflect on, you know, not that you need to reflect on your life, but just about, you know, what you've been here, what you've meant to so many people here, what you've meant to this franchise. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, the number of, what I was amazed about was the number of guys that came back for the ceremony, for the alumni guys. I mean, some guys that I haven't seen in 20 years. I haven't seen Thomas Smith in about 20 years, and he was at the Bills alumni at the party and everything. So, we reflected a lot on it. Bruce, you know, Jim, Andre, Daryl, all those guys. So it was a great weekend, and something I'll never forget.
So after that week, the Bills trudged through. They lost that game. The next week, they come into headed to New York.
They lost to Chicago.
They're coming in. They're headed to New York, and with their fourth quarterback of the season, and you've got to be sitting there thinking like I was. Man, it looked like there was no way the Bills were going to walk out of MetLife Stadium with a win, and once again. It's unbelievable how well they played and how bad the Jets played and how that game went down.
You know what? And I give a lot of credit to Coach McDermott and his coaching staff. Obviously, the season is far from over, but to have those guys come out and really play the way that they did and really, you know, just take it to the Jets and really, you know, it all turned into not only just the Bills winning, but, you know, how long is Todd Bowles going to keep his job? You know, so I think you have to get a lot of credit to Sean McDermott and his coaching staff for
really keeping the guys motivated. And, you know, you've heard it before from all the players that talk about it. They like being over there. They like going to work. They like their teammates, and they like being around them. And I think that's the start of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean putting together a solid roster.
Hey, Thurman, what did you think of LeSean McCoy's performance and the performance of the offensive line in front of him Sunday against the Jets?
It was great, you know, just to see him, you know. I mean, first time he's had a 100-yard game since, what, last year?
Yep.
And, man, just, you know, it's always great to see him smiling and being happy. I know there was some talk last week about, you know, he didn't talk to the media, which I really don't get. But, you know, yeah, you know exactly
wow.
how I feel about that.
I know, so, you're standing outside. You should get indoors before you get struck by lightning.
But great to see him. You know, it's always good when, you know, he can be on the sideline smiling, talking to a lot of the players, and just having a great time because, you know, he's the focal point of the offense.
All right, the media thing, you brought it up. You never had, like, a boycott of talking to the media. When you would get mad, you would just yell at
not
the media.
Talk.
No, you talked, but usually you included a bunch of four-letter words.
Yeah, well, it's part of life sometimes.
I know. I'd rather have that than just total not talk. I enjoyed your performances with the media. I always enjoyed
it. Yeah, but sometimes it was like, I mean, what are you actually here to talk about? Okay, I mean, we didn't have a good game. I probably didn't have a good game, so... There was really nothing really to talk about.
No, I get you.
Yeah, talk about
you get me.
Let's hear what you think.
Then you get that. But Jim Kelly said this. I don't know exactly what Jim said. Don't come over to my locker trying to start stuff.
Yeah,
it's like a 30-year-old beef you're reliving here. Jim said this.
Jim's,
I know where you're
it.
Going with this. This is the bickering Bills.
Right, obviously,
30 years later, you're still talking about it.
Obviously, Thurman has some emotional scar tissue
wow.
that he carries around. Like, listen, what do you think also about the changes in the roster against the Jets this last week? And they put Marcus Murphy in the game. Isaiah McKenzie
right.
came in. They put Robert Foster back on the field. They got some speed on the outside. And also, Marcus Murphy also added a little bit of dimension of speed. It seemed to change things quite a bit against the Jets.
Well, I think, you know, when you're at the bottom of the league and in – offense or what have you, yeah, you have to look for some changes, some different things. And to have those guys out there playing like that, the new guys, I thought it was absolutely great. You know, I mean, let's continue to do that for the rest of the year. I thought Wyatt Teller did an excellent job. I mean, for him to get in there and, you know, he's going against what was his name? Leonard Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, and did an outstanding job.
Wyatt Teller against him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know what? These are the things you have to look for going throughout the season. We're kind of building toward for next year. You know, now they might not be able to – they might not have to look at the guard position now because Wyatt Teller's, you know, had one good game, but you have to also keep that going.
Yeah. With Thurman Thomas, Hall of Fame running back, former Buffalo Bill, joining us on the show today. Hey, Thurman, we're kind of looking ahead a little bit here on the show, and Pro Bowl voting is underway now for the fans. It continues for about the next month. Tell me what you think about who might deserve to be in the Pro Bowl from the Bills. We've kind of limited it to defensive players, Jerry Hughes, Stephen
right.
Hauschka, I guess, Tre'Davious White. Who would you think would get your Pro Bowl vote?
I would probably go, Jerry Hughes and Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the most consistent guys throughout the year, I think it's been those two guys. I think they've played remarkable. I mean, Jerry Hughes set the tone last week, once again, for the Jets. And Tre'Davious been a shutdown corner all year long. So I think with going into that, you know, you give those two guys the notch and probably Stephen Hauschka.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I like the way you're voting
there.
Absolutely,
hey,
yeah.
I got one more Bills issue to ask you about.
Okay.
Thanks. Sean McDermott said that when Josh Allen is healthy, he'll be the starter again. Any thoughts on that, even as well as Barkley played? What do you think?
You know, I've never really doubted anything that Sean McDermott has said. You know, I like the guy. I think he's been good for these players. So I'm right along with him. If he's healthy enough to play, then I think he should play. So, I mean, he's the franchise quarterback that we're going to be looking for the next 10 or 15 years. So why not put him out there? I mean, he's obviously hadn't played in a while, but, no, he has to learn. And I think now you're seeing a lot of these younger quarterbacks being out there thrown into the fire. They have to learn. It's a learning curve. I mean, all the great quarterbacks have gone through a situation like this, and they have to learn it. So I would say if he's healthy, I'm all for it. Put him out there and see what he can do.
What do you think of the fact that Le'Veon Bell has decided not to play at all this year?
You know, that was a shock to me. I was very surprised by that decision, him and his agent not really coming to terms with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and not having an opportunity to play football this year. I mean, it's basically a wasted year for him. But, you know, that's just a little strange and a little weird because you never really have had anything happen to a great organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers or something like this, a player sitting out for an entire year at a position where I think we talked about it months ago, one of the lowest paid average positions in the National Football League. So very shocked and surprised by it, but we'll have to see what happens, you know, come next year and see, you know, will somebody pay him that much money. He'll be a free agent, but I'm not quite so sure now that people want to pay that type of money for a guy who didn't play a year. And so and especially being at that position.
Hey, I wonder, you had some holdouts but never seemed to go much deeper than into the preseason. Obviously you have a strong conviction on something when you hold out like that, but did you ever think you're going to miss significant time because of a contract dispute there?
No, never, never. I can remember one time, I think I came to training camp before I got a deal done.
Yeah.
I was in training camp for a couple of weeks. I think I held out one time and missed the entire training camp. But, you know, I kept myself in great shape. Always staying in contact with my teammates. And obviously that was something Le'Veon Bell didn't do. But
yeah.
I kept in touch with my teammates and what was going on. And so it was a different situation back then than it is now.
Sure it was. Hey, we want to ask you, speaking of other running backs, did you hear what Marshall Faulk had to say about you, Thurm, the other day?
Yes, I did.
Can we play it? Let me play it for our audience. Marshall
yeah.
Faulk, a Hall of Famer, talking about Thurman Thomas and what an inspiration he was. Listen to this.
Think about it. Being part of an offense that threw the ball all the time, and when they ran the ball, you got the job done. Being able to catch the football out of the backfield, and oh yeah, willing to pass block. Got every yard he could out of every carry he had. I remember back in 1994, my rookie year, we played the Buffalo Bills. And after that game, to have a Thurman Thomas find me and let me know that I was the future and that I was doing everything right. And it wasn't about the advice. It was, here's my number. Call me if you ever need anything. If you ever want to know anything. His willingness to help me get better. Thurman Thomas, you inspired me.
Wow, that's pretty amazing, Thurman. What did you think of that?
Well, you know, actually I saw it a couple of days ago. Well, about a week ago. And, you know, as a football player and then at that position or any position, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to teach the younger guys, inspire them to do the right things, especially at your position. And obviously, Marshall's a great friend of mine. You know, he was kind of in a situation where Ted Marshall Broder left us and went to Indy. And that's where he became, you know, the type of player that he's been over the course of his career, Hall of Fame career, with the Colts and with the Rams. And great guy. I love him to death. He's actually, we called each other twins. Because there's been a lot of places where if I go to New Orleans, people call me Marshall all the time, and I just run with it. And a lot of people call him Thurman. He say, I run with it too.
That's so funny.
That's great.
He's a great guy, man. Really, really appreciate all the things that he's done over the years, you know, with the Rams and everything. So just a great guy, great friend of mine.
Then we got to be. Are we getting close to the debut of that NFL Network movie about you, Football Life, Thurman Thomas? That's coming up soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming up soon. It'll be out in December. I can't tell you the exact date.
Okay.
I mean, I do know it, but I'm not going to ruin the surprise for everybody.
Okay.
So, but, you know, they'll give, like, a couple of days before, they'll run, like, a little preview of when it's coming on, what time it's coming on. So.
Right.
So.
It's not going to come out, like. It's not going to come out on, like, the 34th of December or something like that?
No, nothing like that.
Yeah,
no.
All right.
No. Yeah. So, yeah, my kids and everybody's pumped up for it, and they've been telling me, you know, this is it for you. That's just football. Like, there's no more other things that you can achieve. I was like, no, I think there's still a lot more things that I could achieve.
You still got to get the keys to Buffalo.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, my situation has kind of changed a little bit. You know, I've been out of football for a number of years, and, you know, my idea now is, you know, do whatever I can to help the city of Buffalo. And that's it.
That's pretty cool. Hey, one other thing I know that got your attention. Stan Lee died the other day, Marvel Comics and the creators of Spider-Man. And something got your attention, WFAN radio host Mike Francesa. Let me play this, too, and get your thoughts on this. Mike Francesa, you're laughing already. I haven't seen this. This is what Mike Francesa in New York said about Stan Lee passing away.
Eddie in Hoboken. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not a comic book guy. Is that who he is, Stan Lee? The guy
who created Spider-Man. That was his big thing.
Oh, created Spider-Man? Sorry. I never was a comic book reader as a kid. I apologize. Never.
Mike Francesa is my hero, Thurman. I want to be like that when I grow up.
You want to be?
I want to be just as clueless as
Mike
Francesa. You'd
be a crotchety old man.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Yeah, who's ever running that show, I would have gave him his pink slip right after that. Give me a break. Come on, you don't know who Stan Lee is. You don't comic books, Spider-Man. Do you have it? Doesn't even have kids.
I don't know if he does. Now that you mention
it. Right. I mean, come on. You don't know who Spider-Man? Come on.
Yeah.
Stan Lee was also famous for making cameos in movies a lot.
Yeah, his own Marvel movies.
He was in a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm not a comic book freak either, but Jesus. I mean, I know who Stan Lee is. Unbelievable.
Have you ever met Stan Lee, Thurman, in your brushes with greatness over the years?
No, I have not. Okay. No, I have not.
We are a big
Marvel fan family.
Okay. Have you run across any major celebrities over the last few weeks since the last time we talked to you?
No, I have not. I'm supposed to meet some golfers tonight, but I don't know who's coming.
Where are you?
I'm in Sea Island, Georgia.
I didn't know that. What are you doing down there?
Doing some stuff for the PGA and Janny King.
All right.
Very nice.
You lived the life, man. That's pretty amazing. Good weather, I hope, down there, right?
It's a little chilly, you know. Me being from Buffalo, I'm down here in shorts and a sweatshirt. Everybody else is bundled up.
All right, well,
it's only 60.
Yeah, well, do us proud down there.
Yeah.
Thurman, thanks for this. Good to spend some time with you. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
All right, buddy. I'll see you guys next week.
All right,
okay. Thurman Thomas on the line with us, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. I wanted to ask him right off the rip where he was, but it's a little – sometimes you don't want people to know where you are. Seriously. And it sounded like he was standing by the side of a road, didn't it? Or it just run a marathon
or
something.
Listen, he may be on the 400 for all we know. I mean, he can say whatever he wants. He just couldn't make it into the studio today.
It sounded like he was standing by the side of a highway.
I know. It sounded like somebody was going by. It might have been – it could have been golf carts too, but it sounded like – cars going by on the highway, and the wind was blowing once in a while in the mic. I knew, Sea Island, Georgia.
Yeah. Of all of your, you know, prominent teammates, and you, well, of your seven presidents, how many presidents you got?
Five presidents.
Thurman probably maximizes his retirement status and his Hall of Fame status more than anyone else. Would you agree? Or I don't know, though. Kelly does a lot, too. Kelly's always traveling.
Listen, I call them the five presidents for a reason, man. You know, if you're on a Mount Rushmore, you can ride that wave pretty well, I think.
Thurman does it well, though.
Listen, Bruce is at the point when his business adventures and stuff where he does nothing that he didn't want to do. I mean, Bruce has done extremely well in business since he retired.
Real estate. Right?
I could guess.
Wasn't he developing a hotel in Canton and stuff?
Yeah,
in
the Hall of Fame? Yeah. And then, Jim, Andre does the same. Andre's a full-time Andre Reed.
pork rind sponsorship.
He is, yeah. Andre is, his job is being Andre Reed 100% of the time.
You heard that. Were you here then when we were at the Super Bowl and Andre was going around Radio Row? This is two Super Bowls ago.
And he was doing the pork rind thing?
He was speaking on behalf of the Pork Rinds Association of America.
There you go, man.
I didn't laugh at him, but
hey, if the check clears.
I assume it cleared.
Yeah.
He got mad at us. He got mad at me because I wasn't laughing at him. I just said, pork rinds? Would you do the pork rinds? Would you be the spokesperson for pork rinds?
What's the number?
We have our answer, ladies and gentlemen. We have our answer.
Right? I mean, listen,
you just open yourself
up. I'm sure
up
they're
to
wonderful
of,
people.
I'm sure they were, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it would, for some things, you do it for nothing, and other things.
Norm was doing something for Janet King, basically janitorial operations, right?
Yeah, but I think he's got a franchise, doesn't he?
Does he? I don't know.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
I think he's in that business.
Okay.
He's got some skin in that game.
Okay.
So it's different for him in that.
And what about you, Steve?
I'm sitting here with you, Murph. being on the same team as you is all the padding I need,
okay.
Murph.
All right. We're going to come back with more, find out what Steve does next in his semi-retirement, and more issues, including the Bills who belong in the Pro Bowl. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, our final show of the week. We are off Thursday and Friday, back on Monday. It's the bye week, in case you didn't get the memo. Even Steve Tasker and I deserve a couple of days off, and our crew's
well,
great.
We're getting a couple of days off. Whether we deserve it or not is beside the point.
Good point.
I was telling you, and I want to get into this because we had just a minute. Okay, so we went to the hockey game last night.
Yes.
And I don't know, do you buy the 50-50 tickets when you go to those?
No.
You don't ever buy a 50-50 ticket at a Sabres game.
I don't think we're eligible to win. We're employees.
I better be eligible to win. I'm not a Sabres employee.
You are a PSE.
Am I not eligible to win, Jay?
I don't think you can win as a PSE. It's the PSE.
I've been throwing cash down the – even if I won, I didn't win? All right, so that's beside the point anyway. So now that you've
in fact,
now
that you've might stopped, pay a penalty.
Now that you've stopped me from buying any more, charitable donations. So we go in that last night, and my son is with me, and he goes, hey, I was here with my friend Rob one night, and he won it, the 50-50 at a Sabres. So, it's a big chunk, right? It's like last night it was like $22,000.
Wow.
Right? So I don't know when it was he won or whatever. My son said, cost him money.
What?
What do you mean? I go, how do I get cost him money? That's a big chunk. He goes, yeah, it put him into another tax bracket.
He won so much.
He kicked him
into
it.
Put him in a different tax.
Well, he was making just like underneath whatever threshold there is where the next percentage kicks in. And the percentage put him where it cost him money. Oh, man. That's worse than finding out you're ineligible.
I don't think you can win.
I was just told over the – Jay Harris, our producer, said, no, you can't win.
You can't.
Well, at least I don't have to worry about buying tickets anymore.
You could do it and make it a charitable donation. How many tickets? What are you buying? How many tickets? A couple bucks.
I dropped a 20 on them.
Oh, how many weeks have you done that? How many? Well, are we talking hundreds, thousands? What do we got here?
No. I'll bet. Let's see. Over the course of I'll bet you there's a hundo in there. A couple of hundo in there over the course
you
of the game.
You can't win. You're an employee.
I did not know that.
Come on, man. What else are you doing with your money? That maybe you should have somebody else take a look at this.
I need some advice.
Hey,
I'm
Twitter
pretty sure
today,
though, if I won, it wouldn't kick me into the next bracket.
You're pretty far up there. You're at the top level, aren't you?
Yeah.
Our Twitter poll today deals with the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl balloting for fans is underway. Continues till December 13th. Which Bills player would you vote for to make the Pro Bowl? Got a Twitter poll up there, and you can do that. And right now, 56% of you say Tre'Davious White would be your choice. 19% say Stephen Hauschka, 18% say Jerry Hughes, 7% have somebody else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Todd on the line from Buffalo. Go ahead, Todd. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
I'm surprised that Jerry Hughes' percentage isn't higher. I may be biased because I was a defensive player myself, but I feel like he doesn't take a playoff. And his stats really don't reflect how good he is. He gets a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You know, I think he's only got a handful of sacks.
He's got, what, 5.5?
5.5 yeah, so far.
It's a little more than a handful, I guess.
On paper, it doesn't seem stellar, but, you know, to us who got a magnifying glass on him, you watch Jerry Hughes every play. He never takes a play off. He has to be accounted for all the time. And he makes life easier for guys like Tre'Davious White because he's in the quarterback's face all the time.
I agree, Todd. He is really – he's a great player. There's no question about it. He is a fantastic pass rusher. The Bills got him in a trade straight across with the Indianapolis Colts for Kelvin Shepard, correct?
Yep.
And, you know, Kelvin Shepard's not playing football right now. And Jerry Hughes is a high-level, if not elite, pass rusher in the NFL right at this time. I mean, he is in his prime, and he is playing really well. And he's only got, as we said, 5.5 sacks. And that alone might keep a guy out of the Pro Bowl because fans look at those numbers and say, wow, this guy must be good or this guy must be bad. And they make a snap judgment around the country for guys who aren't in your market. Like, you know, if you're in L.A., you're not a Bills fan, you're just saying, okay. And you vote for the Pro Bowl that way, or you just vote for the player on your team no matter what his stats are. So Jerry's going to fight against that unless you get, you know, double-digit or mid-double-digit sacks, 14, 15 sacks I'm talking about. So he's fighting against that, but I don't think any question he's playing on the number one defense in the league, and he is the pass rusher off the edge. Trent Murphy hasn't contributed too much because he's been hurt. And Shaq Lawson has played well and played much better this year than he has in the past. But Jerry Hughes is the guy on the number one defense in the league.
I found the stat I was looking for. Going into last week's game, before the Jets game, this is according to Stats LLC, Jerry Hughes, only two players, going into last week's game, only two players had generated more pressures on opposing quarterbacks this year. And a pressure is any play with a full or half a sack, a hit, a hurry, or a knockdown. Jerry Hughes, going into last week, had 46 pressures. Aaron Donald led the league with 65. Dee Ford of Kansas City had 50. And then Jerry Hughes with 46. Aaron Donald's going to the Pro Bowl. Dee Ford might go to the Pro Bowl. Jerry Hughes is right there behind him, third in quarterback pressures. He is ahead of luminaries like J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, Fletcher Cox, Danielle Hunter. Jerry Hughes is third in quarterback pressures going into last week. So we see it every week, and the numbers bear it out too, you know, bear out just how well and effective he's played, what a great pass rusher he is.
He really is. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of times, that, and I mentioned it just a few minutes ago, when you look at the interception that Matt Milano got down the far side, go back and look at it if you have the means and the wherewithal to do that. Watch Jerry Hughes come off the edge and get – Josh McCown. Now, we're seeing a replay of a sack he got on McCown last week, but the rush he puts on that led to the interception was a joke. I mean, their left tackle was absolutely like whiffed on Jerry, and he really forced McCown into trying to, you know, throw the football away. He had a couple of knockdowns last week as well. I mean, Josh McCown was getting his passes batted at the line of scrimmage all day on Sunday, and that was a sign of a good defense. And I agree with you, Todd, the caller just a minute ago. Jerry Hughes is as good a defensive player playing in his prime as the Bills have on their team right now.
Thanks for your call. Here's a call from Tim in Depew. Hello, Tim. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
I love the show.
Thank you, Tim.
90s was my day, so I always got to start by telling guys like Steve, thanks for the memories. Definitely gave me some great memories with my dad before we lost him during all those years. So continually look fondly back on those days. I get a kick out of the comment, or should I say the conversation you just had with Thurman. I didn't realize the connection him and Marshall Faulk had, but kind of a quick funny story. A few years back, I was fortunate enough to be with Thurman in a behind-the-scenes type of thing, and I had my son with me, and at the time he was 12, and Faulk was, you know, doing really well with the Rams at the time, and so I'm fawning over, you know, Thurman, obviously, because of all the years, and I says to my son, this is Thurman Thomas. And he looks at me and goes, that doesn't help me, Dad. Okay. And Thurman's like, come on, man. And I said, Marshall Faulk. And my son popped up, his head turned around and said, yeah, yeah. I said, well, this was Marshall Faulk before Marshall Faulk was mine. Thanks, guys.
That's right. Yeah, you bet, Tim. Thanks. You're right. And, Thurm could do it all. I mean, he really was. It's fun to have him on every week and talk to him. And you can tell he's a – Well, you said it. You made a joke about what it was like covering him back when he played, and when if he was cranky, it was almost a show. You know, right? I mean, he would like just go down the line of you guys and just berate you, and then he'd berate you, and then he'd berate the next one. And so, but
I enjoyed it,
right? It was. So now you can see that, you know, he's come kind of full circle now that he's gotten out of the league, gotten in the Hall of Fame. How you know the stress is out of his life, and you know, kind of thing where he's a different kind of guy. He's got a different personality. He's a lot of fun to be around when he doesn't have to play a game every weekend.
I was thinking about this, Steve, and can you imagine how difficult this week would have been had the Bills not won to go into the bye week with five consecutive losses to lose to the Jets, a pretty bad team. Now put yourself in the Jets' position. They've lost four in a row now. They just lost 41-10 at home to the Buffalo Bills, who were having trouble scoring points. The Jets have I'm sure right now they're in their bye week scratching their heads, wondering about their coach, wondering about their season. Jamal Adams, their great second-year safety, was on his radio show the other day. He said a couple of interesting things, including the fact that he said that his team didn't prep much for Matt Barkley. I got to find this. Well, here's what he said. The right. Jets didn't prep much for Matt Barkley. He said we're not playing well, obviously, but guys in the locker room did not expect that they would see Matt Barkley, quarterback for the Bills. Here's what he said on the show on WFAN radio.
We obviously planned for Josh Allen to come in there. We thought he was going to play. Obviously, he didn't play. Obviously, we didn't have a lot of film on Barkley. And, you know, hats off to him. He came in there and did a hell of a job. But, you know, obviously, you know, coming in, we knew that he was going to be a possession guy. We knew he was going to take his shots, but, we definitely didn't have film on him, if that's what you're asking. But at the end of the day, the coaches are not on the field. You know, the players are definitely on the field. So as grown men, we got to go out there and do our job at all times. You know, everything they ran, we practiced during practice. You know, everybody wasn't doing a job. No one came to play. And I'm not going to sit there and say that, guys just didn't come to play. It's simple as that, man. It's no going into detail about it. Those guys, you know, they kept running the same plays. And honestly, we just weren't stopping it. Whether it was not fitting the gap, whether it wasn't communicating, whatever the case may be on both sides of the ball, special teams, whatever it was, man, it just didn't go right for us. Again, I'm going to support T-Bowles. T-Bowles is not the problem, and I'm going to keep saying it. But other than that, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, I like Jamal Adams. He is a great player.
Yeah,
he played well last Sunday. He played hard. But come on, we didn't prep for Matt Barkley. There's a reason why Matt Barkley had not taken a snap in a couple of years. He was not up to it. He wasn't on an NFL roster and didn't earn a spot on an NFL roster. It's not like we didn't prep for LeBron James. You know, it's not like we didn't prep for Joe Montana. You didn't prep for Matt Barkley, and that's why you lost? Come on.
What would change about your prep if
you
thought it was going to be Matt Barkley? What would you do differently? I don't know if you would do anything differently. And I don't think it had as much to do with Matt Barkley playing as it did to do with the different offensive plays the Bills were able to run because of the added speed they put on. It wasn't Matt Barkley so much as it was Isaiah McKenzie and Robert Foster and Zay Jones. It was a younger, faster group of wide receivers who were making catches and making plays. And that was what the difference was. And, you know, you're right. He is a really good player, Jamal Adams, for the Jets. He's going to be for a long time. So Bills fans are going to get a load of him. But you think about the line of questioning that the Jets players are having to answer this week about their head coach. I mean, this is a guy that's in there 4 years, his fourth year as head coach. And, you know, they're still trying to get it together in a lot of respects. It was a team that did not play well against a team where they were favored big time. And it's just, you can imagine what a long 2 weeks it's going to be before the Jets can get on the field and make amends for that the performance they put out against the Bills.
Better them than us, right? We'd be deep into that if the Bills had lost somehow to the Jets.
Well, you start to question everything, especially when you have time to sit around and there's nothing else to talk about. There's no game. There's no opponent to think about. You keep rehashing and hashing over what went wrong and what could have gone better and what didn't happen. And you start to talk yourself into things that, you know, don't make sense in the big picture. And that's where you got to fight not to go. Certainly this win is, while it's one win in a long season, it certainly shows that there are some things that this coaching staff has done and been trying to do that finally came back and rewarded them for all the decisions and the changes they've been trying to make.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk more about the Pro Bowl, which Bills belong in the Pro Bowl in your estimation, and other Bills issues as well. Give us a call. We got lines open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Live from One Bills Drive, John Murphy, Steve Tasker, our last show of the week. We're back on Monday after today because of the bye week for the Bills. You got a game this week. Where are you going? Baltimore and?
Baltimore. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Nice quick flight. I'll be back in a reasonable hour.
Do you know that your boy Joe Flacco is not practicing today and he may not start? Lamar Jackson.
Oh, man. Lamar Jackson is all over the airwaves. They're thinking that it's time to go to him because, come on.
He said he's ready.
Lamar Jackson cannot throw the football anywhere near Joe. Joe Flacco could sit in a chair and throw it better than most guys.
Flacco did not speak to reporters today, dealing with a hip injury. Coach John Harbaugh declined to talk about his quarterback situation. The Ravens and the Bengals, it's kind of a big game, I guess, right? And
I think it is. Yeah, I mean, they're still way into this playoff. I mean, the Bengals are in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So they can't be sidetracked. They're kind of – they just hired Hugh Jackson, of all people, to help with the offense.
He's always been a pretty good offensive
They're
coach.
Right behind Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's 6-2-1. Cincinnati's 5-4. Baltimore's 4-5. So they'll have identical records after this game if Baltimore is able to beat them at home. But they're still chasing around for that wild card spot in the AFC, and one of them may well get it. But this Lamar Jackson stuff, I think people are clamoring to see him just because they're so tired of looking at Joe Flacco. It really is, don't you think? I mean, we've seen him play. We've seen him play really well early in the season against the Bills.
Yeah,
and I've seen him play Flacco, well. Yeah, I've seen him play well on a number of occasions. But if he's injured, that's a different story. And I think because John Harbaugh's being coy, well, I don't know what that – I think it might mean that Lamar Jackson might be the guy.
Might be. Let's take some phone calls here. We got a call about Buffalo's quarterback situation. John in Alden. Go ahead, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really enjoy the show.
Thanks, John.
The only point that I want to make is, I understand Josh Allen's our future, and that's the way we're going to go in the future, obviously. My problem is that I don't want to see this kid get wrecked if he goes out there and things don't go the right way. I mean, Buffalo's been notoriously terrible on young quarterbacks. I mean, Nate Peterman's the perfect example. Had some bad games, boom, he's gone. Everybody's all over media, everything else, just ripping that guy apart. He was a two-year quarterback. It wasn't like he was a seasoned veteran. He got to sit a year behind Tyrod Taylor and watch him. I mean, I just don't want to see them do that. If you have a guy the way Barkley came out and played last week, why not just let him sit? It's not like they're going anywhere, and let him watch defenses and all that type of stuff.
John, what do you think is going to happen to Josh Allen? I mean, if he comes in and doesn't really play that well, but you can see some progress, they're not winning too many they're not winning any games. What do you think the downside is?
The downside is, I think that the media and fan base and everything else will start ripping this kid apart. And that's going to end up ruining his confidence like it's done for so many young quarterbacks that we've had here since Jim. I mean, I understand everybody in Buffalo wants Jim Kelly. Everybody forgets the fact that Jim Kelly played 4 years of pro in the USFL before he came here. And I'm going to hang up and hear what you guys have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the thing. I still think, though, here's what you got to know, that even though Josh goes in there and even if he doesn't light it up, which he probably won't, I mean, let's be honest. He's not going to go in there and throw for 365 yards, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions, probably. But I think you got to know that the expectations are going to be different and the patience level is going to be really high for a guy like Josh Allen for a couple of reasons. One, you've never had a first-round quarterback or a young quarterback like you're talking about with his physical ability. He's bigger than any quarterback. He's got a better arm. He was drafted high for a reason. He's got physical attributes that you haven't seen. And that goes back to J.P. Lossman and E.J. Manuel, goes and any other quarterbacks you can name that came in here. Trent Edwards. Josh Allen has a special and unique arm. He's a big, strong, fast athlete as well. He's a different animal than any young quarterback you've had here before. The patience level by the organization is going to be much, much higher than it's ever been with a young quarterback like the ones you're talking about, John, the caller. And so I think Josh is going to have a longer leash because of his physical attributes, because of the investment the club's made in him. They're going to be willing to live with some pretty rough patches from this young guy.
Who's they? Fans?
The Bills.
Okay.
The coaching staff, the front office, even his teammates. They're going to give this guy a lot of leeway to find himself and get better. The thought is, even if it's baby steps along through these last six games where he may start all of them, even if it's baby steps through there, they're going to take those, and they're going to be happy they get him. They just want to see flashes of where he could be going once in a while. And if he can start cutting out from away from the big mistakes, if he can start, and we had a caller yesterday we alluded to, one thing you'd like to see is for him to stand in the pocket and not pull it down and run so quickly. Steps like that and signs of progress like that are all you're looking for in this next six games from Josh Allen. With the number one defense in the league and his ability to maybe just get some things done in the passing game will help the running game as well. Maybe they will start to score a few points, and that changes everything for this team. With the number one defense in the league, they might wind up at the end of this season looking like a pretty good football team. And although it may be too late, it'll still lay the groundwork for a better and more productive year next year. So, John, I see what you're saying. You don't want this guy to be kicked to the curb before he's really had a chance to fail and get better or climb out of a bad outing. But I don't think they're running that risk with this coaching staff. Murph, do you? I mean, I think they're going to hang in there with
him. The
thing
that I disagree with the caller about is Josh Allen sitting and watching is not equal to Josh Allen playing. And the best way for him, not the only way, but the best way for him to get better is to play and to make mistakes and to learn from his mistakes and to make a mistake and come right back on the very next play and take the next snap. And I think that's too much to give up with six games remaining, to give up the possibility of getting better.
Do you think that is a little bit of a gamble to put him out there and know that he's going to stink it up at times and then run the risk of making it so that he doesn't develop further?
No.
Again, you don't think there's a risk there that they ruin him, right?
I think people look. Part of being a first-rate NFL quarterback is to overcome when people think you're ruined, or you can't do that, or you might not be able to do that, and you overcome that, right? You play better.
I agree.
You don't just.
I don't.
The media is not going to force somebody out of the league.
And I'm not worried about a guy.
Opinion's not going to force somebody out of the league.
I'm not worried about
better.
Yeah, I'm not worried about a guy getting his feelings hurt.
No.
I'm worried about a guy getting his ego bruised. I'm not worried about a guy going out there and playing like Nathan Peterman did. And because we saw it, Nathan Peterman couldn't have been worse at times when he played here. And he fought back and earned the trust of the coaching staff. And, that's what players do. I don't think players get ruined because of what happens inside of them. I think they get ruined by what people think of them outside. Mm-hmm. I think they get ruined by the bad team around them. They get ruined by or an injury or something like that. And like I've said before, the injury stuff you can't get away from. You're not going to get away from it by sitting him on the bench, because you could sit him on the bench for 15 years and, what's it get you? Nothing.
Yeah.
You got to play.
Yeah.
And so I'm not worried about Josh Allen getting thrown out on a bad offense and having it somehow scar him for his future here in Buffalo.
You've got to be better than that, not to get scarred.
Absolutely.
All right, a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN, plus more of your phone calls, who belongs in the Pro Bowl from the Buffalo Bills. All of that in the third and final hour of the show. One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.